Radio Prague News.
Czech MPs have passed an overhaul of parliamentary immunity. The Czech unemployment rate in January went up to 9.1%. And an appellate court in Prague has upheld a 16-year sentence for US citizens who shot a man dead after a barrow. After years of debates, Czech MPs on Wednesday passed an overhaul of parliamentary immunity. If approved by the Senate and signed into law by the President, the amendments to the Czech Constitution will remove lawmakers' immunity for life and will only cover their terms in Parliament. However, lawmakers will still have a choice whether any minor offences they commit will be dealt with by the authorities or by the respective committee of the House. A sweeping majority of MPs from across the parties voted for the change that will now be put to the vote in the Senate. Legislators will need to accordingly amend the Czech Penal Code before the legislation enters into force in January 2013. In a ballot vote, Czech senators rejected the president's nominee for the Constitutional Court, Jan Sváček, over his past membership in the totalitarian Communist Party of Czechoslovakia. Mr. Sváček, who serves as Chief Justice of the Prague Municipal Court, joined the party in June 1989, just months before communism collapsed in the country. He has also been an advisor to President Václav Klaus since his election in 2003. In his appearance in the Senate, Justice Sváček argued he had to join the party in order to be able to become a judge. The senators, however, remained unconvinced and refused to approve the nomination. The Czech Republic's unemployment rate in January rose to 9.1%, up by 0.5% from the previous month, according to figures released on Wednesday by the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs. The jobless rate crossed the 9% mark for the first time since March last year. However, most analysts expected an even higher surge. The Jeseník district in the northeast of the country registered the highest unemployment rate of 17.8%. The lowest of 3.4% was recorded in one of the capital districts. Some 14% of Czechs are at risk of poverty and social exclusion, which is the lowest share of all EU nations, according to a report by the Union statistics body Eurostat. The figures are based on numbers of households whose income is below 60% of the national average. The list is topped by Bulgaria and Romania. The Czech Republic, along with Sweden and Luxembourg, also has the lowest share of people living at very low work intensity homes, that is, homes where adults work less than 20% of their potential. The police on Wednesday evacuated the Czech Republic's air traffic control center in Janec on the western outskirts of Prague over what turned out to be a toolbox, a police spokeswoman said. Dozens of the center's administrative staffers had to leave the building. However, air traffic controllers remained at the workplace, and the incident had no effect on the safety of air traffic over the country, a spokesman for the agency said. An appellate court in Prague on Wednesday upheld a 16-year sentence for a US citizen living in the Czech Republic who last February killed a man after a barrow. The incident was sparked by an argument that broke out between the 53-year-old American, Gilbert Ferguson McRae, and his victim, a 34-year-old Czech man. The US citizen later followed the man out of the bar and onto a tram, where he later shot him in the head with a handgun. Mr. McRae's attorney said his client would fight the verdict before the Supreme Court, as he believed he had been denied a fair trial. And finally, a brief look at the weather. Freezing conditions are set to continue, with clouded skies, snowing, and daytime highs ranging between minus 8 and minus 4 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Terner, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, Czech lawmakers approve changes to legislation covering the denial of fatherhood. A new documentary called Nuclear Faith explores the Czech Republic's trust in atomic energy. And later on in this week's Spotlight, we'll visit the Prague's unique Manes exhibition hall. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. Czech lawmakers have approved changes to legislation covering the denial of fatherhood, overriding an earlier Senate veto. The amendment will extend a previous 6-month period for denying fatherhood upon learning the biological parent was someone else to 3 years. Experts have argued the earlier time frame was too short. At stake, of course, are not just the rights of the parent, but also of the child. Jan Wellinger discussed the issue with Jaroslav Sturma, director of the Children's Center Paprsek, as well as chairman of the Czech Moravian Psychological Society.
I am glad that it is done, because we are convinced that the principle of truth has to be applied in all circumstances of life. We have a rather long tradition to tell truth about the origin, even to the adoptive children. And similarly, I am convinced that we can apply it even in other cases of fatherhood. We observe in our clinical practice that very often some problems in behavior of children can be really caused by the circumstance that the child is not really anchored in his or her roots. So very often we have to start to analyze the origin, the family. On the basis of this truth, we can also correct some misunderstandings, discomfort in behavior and in relations.
This legislation is in keeping with the ruling by the Constitutional Court that recognized the so-called father's rights, that they could be trampled on. In your view, why was the original six-month period not enough?
It's very often so that these first 6 months were a too short period for that purpose, to process all necessary administrative steps to reach it. We know that despite all goodwill, this administration, this bureaucracy, takes very much time. So even from this very first discovering that it is otherwise than it was said originally, it takes rather long time until the moment when it can be really approved and realized. So I am glad that this period is now really longer. For me, more important than fathers' rights are rights of children. And in this case, it goes together. The child has a right to know his father and to grow up in the awareness of the truth.
I imagine from your description, certainly, that this must be one of the most difficult situations that a child, but also parents, can find themselves in.
Yes, yes, it's true. And main criterion in such a thing should be really in favor of the child.
And that means analyzing case by case?
Yes, individually, doing it individually and providing also an individual assistance and help in this process, which shouldn't be an act at once, but a process when the child is slowly adapted on the new situation.
That was Jaroslav Sturma, director of Children's Center Paprsek. This is Radio Prague. 2/3 of Czechs are in favor of expanding the country's nuclear power sources, and nearly half of them trust this source of energy. That was the result of a SANEP poll published briefly after the Fukushima nuclear disaster. The Czechs' attitudes towards nuclear power remain strikingly positive compared to other European countries, such as neighboring Germany. Now, a fresh documentary titled Nuclear Faith explores the country's perception of nuclear energy. Sara Borufka spoke to its director, Ivo Bistrichan.
Nuclear power, a buzzword with many vocal critics, but relatively few Czechs are speaking out against this form of energy. In his latest project, Atomová víra, Nuclear Faith, 32-year-old documentary maker Ivo Bistrichan focuses on the relationship that Czechs have to their nuclear plants, which is one of blind faith, he says.
Tak ten titul měl být tak trošku provokace, protože vlastně se snaží jako říct.
The title is a provocation. We don't know a lot about nuclear energy, so it's a question of faith more than anything. Blind faith. Nuclear plants are very complex structures and ordinary citizens know very little about how they work, even about how they are administered and what structures and relationships exist between businesses involved in nuclear energy.
Který kolem toho probíhají, tak ani o tom toho nevíme vlastně moc.
Bystřičan explores this topic from several angles. Among his interviewees are former Greenpeace director Jiří Tutr, head of the State Institute of Nuclear Safety Dana Drábková, and ordinary citizens who live in municipalities nearby the country's two nuclear plants, Dukovany and Temelín.
Při rozhovorech s občany vlastně v Temelíně a v
The people who live near these nuclear plants, 1 or 2 kilometers away, do not mind it at all. If you consider that the opposition to bringing Temelín into service was quite strong at the time, 50% of Czechs were against it. That is quite surprising. If nothing bad happens for 10 years, people seem to forget about the risks.
Ono jako vlastně stačí, aby se těch 10 let vlastně nic nedělo.
In December, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev traveled to Prague and discussed Russia's bid to complete the Temelín nuclear power plant in South Bohemia with his Czech counterpart Václav Klaus. Three companies, the French Areva, the American Westinghouse, and the Russian Atomstroy Export, are competing to win the multi-billion crown tender to build two new reactors at Temelín. Ivo Bystřičan sees the project critically.
Jednání probíhají tak, že se setkávají prezidenti zemí.
The negotiations take the form of presidents from the countries that have made a bid traveling to Prague to lobby for their country's company to win it. That clearly says something about how big a business deal this is. It is necessary to be suspicious of it. The completion will cost hundreds of millions of crowns, and I fear that it will leave very little money for other forms of energy that would be a better choice for us to invest in.
Investovat potom do jiných technologií, které by možná byly smysluplné.
For now, nuclear faith suggests Czech support of nuclear energy remains powerful and the fear of a power blackout still looms large. Given its alleged low cost and low impact on the environment, nuclear energy is widely seen as a good choice and it may be a long time before the Czech public rethinks its reservations towards renewable energy sources.
Many thanks to Sarah Borůvka. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. In this week's edition of Spotlight, we head to a very special exhibition hall right at the Vltava River, not far from Prague's famous dancing house. Sarah Borůvka takes us to the Manas Exhibition Hall.
The functionalist Manas Exhibition Hall, located on the right bank of the Vltava River between the bridges Jiráskův Most and Most Legii, is one of only two buildings in Prague that were expressly designed to house art, the other one being the famous Rudolfinum Gallery. Martin Pavala, the chairman of the supervisory board of the Czech Art Foundation, which owns Manas Exhibition Hall, explains that the art gallery's history started in 1930.
Postavili tehdy velmi slavný a zavedený a významný a velevýznamný spolek výtvarných.
It was built by a very well-known, well-established, important and influential group of artists, the Manas Union of Fine Arts, which also gave the building its name. Colloquially, they were referred to as the Manasáci, and they had been trying to get their own exhibition space for years. They were very active, also internationally. It was thanks to them that such important French modern artists as Auguste Rodin exhibited in Prague.
However influential and impressive this group was, its members included Emil Fila and Josef Čapek, as well as such international art stars as Pablo Picasso and Salvador Dalí, getting their own exhibition space was still a battle.
But finally, due to their prestigious reputation, they were able to secure this piece of land, on which, at that time, the old Štítkovský mill was located. Still, they had to wait a few more years because a decision on the construction of Yiraskuv Most was still pending. And one of the possibilities was for the bridge to be built on this location, near Mislíková Street. Once the decision to install the bridge a few streets up was made, the mill was destroyed and this building was built on the site by architect Otakar Novotný, a longtime member of MANES and at that time its chairman. What he created has become an icon of functionalist architecture.
The MANES Exhibition Hall is indeed a very unusual structure, a minimalist white block with large square windows and distinctive green neon signs that read MANES. The original water tower of the old Škytkovský mill, which has been preserved, provides an interesting counterpoint to the modern building.
Even by today's standards, this is a very inspiring example of modern architecture, of a fascinating and ingenious merging of modern architecture with the historic buildings here in the center of Prague. Down to the details, this modern structure, very unusual for its time, perfectly complements the original tower of the mill, which has been preserved and has become an integral part of the whole. The horizontal line of the MANES building and the vertical line of the tower are a perfect combination to this day.
It is built on a bridge between the riverbank and Slovansky Island, better known as Žofín. In its heyday, the MANES Hall's terraces on the island and its garden restaurant drew many visitors. During a renovation in the late 1970s, however, the building was cut off from the island. Aside from housing a gallery and a restaurant, the exhibition hall was at one point also the home of a car dealership, a wine store, and a news agents, which eased the financial troubles that the MANES Group faced after its construction. Among the main supporters of the ambitious and expensive project was none other than Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, the founder and first president of Czechoslovakia.
President Masaryk was a great supporter of the MANES Hall and even one of its biggest supporters. The MANES Group did not have their own budget, and the budget to build this exhibition space was huge, something like 7 million crowns, an astronomical sum at that time. In the end, it was even more expensive, 10 million crowns. This was financed by sponsors' donations, and I believe President Masaryk contributed 200,000 crowns. And the first event to take place here was a celebration of his 80th birthday, which we have photographs of.
But even with generous donations from sponsors and the rent from businesses that it housed, it wasn't long before the MANES Exhibition Hall was threatened by bankruptcy. Ironically, the arrival of the communist regime may be what saved the MANES Union of the Fine Arts from financial ruin. It was dissolved and replaced by the communist-approved Union of Czechoslovak Artists. Most of its members remained the same, however, and Mr. Bavala is quick to point out that the group's history during communism was rather ambiguous and full of paradoxes. In general, he says, paradoxes pervade the building's history.
If we look back at the past, its history has always been a paradoxical one. Even its creation was very controversial. The Štítkovský mill, which had to be torn down to make space for it, was an important monument of old Prague. It is simply unthinkable that Madame Mládková, who runs the Kampa Museum today, could just decide to demolish the Kampa mills and build a modern art gallery there.
Another ironic anecdote connected to the functionalist art space involves the late president Václav Havel, who once called the white box-like structure his favorite building in Prague.
One of the nicest paradoxes about MANES is, of course, the story of Havel, who lived across the street. He said that MANES was his favorite building in Prague. After the revolution, it became known that the STB, the secret police, had set up a surveillance post in the water tower next to MANES. from where they could monitor Mr. Havel and look right into his windows.
In the heady days of the Velvet Revolution, Manas became a meeting place for the Civic Forum, which used it as a facility to print flyers and other propagation materials. Since then, the modern exhibition hall has hosted countless interesting art shows and brought the works of world-renowned photographers such as Antonín Kratochvíl to Prague. Peter Nichols' interactive play exhibition drew a record number of 50,000 visitors in 2010. It also hosts the International Contemporary Art Fair Art Prague and Prague Photo, an international photography festival. Starting in March, the iconic Functionalist Gallery will undergo a renovation that should restore it to what it once was. A gem of functionalist architecture, in every sense of the word. Martin Bavala explains.
The main principle of functionalism is that the building expresses its inner function through its outward shape. This principle is to a large degree compulsory because as soon as the inner function changes, the building stops functioning, and that is exactly what happened here in the Manas Exhibition Hall. The original function was for it to be a gallery, but today it can no longer perform this function well due to its poor technological equipment. We can't exhibit anything here without concern, and certainly no valuable artworks, because no insurance company would cover them in this environment.
Planned changes during the 150 million crown renovation include modern air conditioning, which will provide better humidity and temperature control and enable the gallery to exhibit loaned artworks. In addition, the building will be reconnected to Slovansky Island. A new cafe with an outdoor terrace and a spectacular view of the city from the river is promising to become a hotspot, not just for art lovers. Manas' lower level will be turned into a multi-purpose space for film screenings, lectures, concerts, and more. The renovation is due to be completed in 2013. The venue will reopen by the fall of next year. Ahead of closing down for the renovation, Manas will be auctioning off some of its artwork, and the gallery's operators are also hosting a benefit concert in March.
Sarah Barufka there with Spotlight. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning program, ABC of Czech, brought to you on this occasion by Pavla Horáková.
Working our way through the alphabet, we have got as far as the letter U, and as promised, we will dive into the topic of urban life. The Czech Republic, with its 11 million inhabitants, has only one city with more than a million people. The population of the capital Prague is nearly 1,200,000, and judging by international standards, it's no real metropolis.
Metropole.
But Czechs do see Prague as
Velkoměsto.
That's the Czech word for metropolis or megapolis. Just like every large city, Prague has a center,
centrum,
and outskirts,
okrajové čtvrti.
Another frequently used word for those is
periferie.
There, you will typically find sprawling housing estates,
sídliště,
with tower blocks made of prefabricated material. In popular language, they are called
paneláky.
When they are particularly tall, they can be called
věžáky,
coming from the word
věž
or tower. If they are even higher, they are called
mrakodrapy
or skyscrapers. More and more people are leaving the inner city for the suburbs,
předměstí,
to live in their own houses in a cleaner environment. Cities in the Czech Republic too have to deal with smog.
Smog.
There was no need to translate that one. Noise.
Hluk.
And traffic jams.
Dopravní zácpa.
Twice a day, traffic slows to a crawl during the rush hour.
Dopravní špička.
and the streets are congested with cars and different forms of public transport.
Hromadná doprava.
Literally translated as mass transport, which is rather fitting. But cities have also their temptations. And there are cinemas,
kina,
theatres,
divadla,
clubs,
kluby,
shopping centres,
nákupní střediska,
and usually more work opportunities,
pracovní příležitosti.
And that's all for today's program. We've had enough of the rat race, I think. So next, we'll move on to the letter V and the pastoral idyll of village life. Tune in again if you can. Until then,
naschledanou.
Goodbye.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.